The Guardian.
If you could give the book of your choice to anyone, historical or contemporary, which book would you choose? And who would you give it to? That's the question we're putting to our favourite authors in their favourite bookshops. This podcast is presented in association with National Book Tokens.
I'm Orlando Figes and I'm sitting downstairs at Daunt Books in Marylebone High Street, which is my local bookshop. I love this shop because it's both a very beautiful place physically, a long gallery with a large window at the end which lets in a lot of natural light. But it's also very useful to someone like me who enjoys being in bookshops and just poking around and seeing what he can find, because the books are organised by country. And that means that alongside travel books and non-fiction works on China or India, you will find fiction or poetry. People who know their books know their readers, they know their clientele, they know what people coming into this bookshop or any bookshop where they are locals themselves, they know what books would appeal to their readers. And that's the joy of a great bookshop. My most recent book is Just Send Me Word, A True Story of Love and Survival in the Gulag. I grew up in London, in Hampstead, and our local bookshop was the High Hill Bookshop. And I remember my mother buying me little world classics editions of Tolstoy's works. I think the Kreutzer Sonata and Other Stories was the first, and Anna Karenina, which was in a pink dust jacket, and War and Peace in two volumes, I think, in the Louise and Alma Maud edition. But the book I really remember cherishing was Henri Trier's biography of Tolstoy, which I received for my 14th birthday and which I absolutely loved. I'm not sure I would love it so much now, knowing more about Tolstoy, being a Russian specialist as I do. But as a 14-year-old boy, it just completely won me over. And it was the story of Tolstoy's life that I loved. Having read some of Tolstoy's simpler works, in a very simplistic way, no doubt, as a 14-year-old would, I was ready for a biography of this great man, this great writer. But what Trier does in that book so wonderfully, I think, is to sort of summon up the world of 19th century Russia and Tolstoy's character, which he does mainly by just using a lot of Tolstoy's letters and diaries. But it's written in a very accessible way, in a way that makes Tolstoy seem very familiar. I think it was the sort of moment at which I sort of fell in love with Russian stuff and with Tolstoy in particular, and wanted to read more as a result of reading Trier's biography. It was one of those books, I think it was probably the first book I ever read, where you had that feeling you just didn't want the book to end. And I read slower and slower as we reached the final pages. So that's a present I think I would give to a 14-year-old. It's certainly one that appealed to me as a 14-year-old. The book I would give to a historical personage is, I think, Tomasi Lampedusa's The Leopard, which is probably my all-time favourite book. I've read it many times in English, and I've just finished reading it in Italian. I'm learning Italian, and one of the delights of learning Italian is to be able to read a book which is very, very subtle and nuanced in its language, and to appreciate in Italian all the word plays that Tomasi puts into that book that get lost in translation. And I thought about this, who would I give this book to? And I think I'd give it to Camillo Cavour, Prime Minister of Piedmont Savoy, who unified Italy, one might say conquered Italy, and who became Italy's Prime Minister for a short period before his death in 1861. Cavour was a great progressive liberal who believed that Italy could be unified, that Sicily, where the Leopard is set, could be included in Italy's march towards modernity. He built railways to unify Italy. But Cavour himself had never been further south than Florence. In fact, I read in David Gilmour's splendid biography of Tomasi Lampedusa, The Last Leopard, that Cavour thought that the Sicilians spoke Arabic. And projecting 100 years forward into the future, he would have had the opportunity to read, as if in a historical mirror, this book by Lampedusa, which is a reflection on Italian unification from the viewpoint of a Sicilian aristocrat. And it's written as a historical novel, but also with the benefit of hindsight. So he mentions aeroplanes in it, for example. And therefore, giving the leopard to Cavour would be as if to create a historical arc linking Cavour with the destiny of Italy that he looked forward to, and linking Lampedusa with the past that he looked back on, contemplated on, with not just, I think, regret and some nostalgia for the passing of an old way of life, but with a certain realism about what was possible for Sicily and what was possible for Italy. Cavour, I think, believed that he was creating a revolution or assimilating a revolution to modernise and change Italy for good, to include Sicily in the march of progress. And Tomasi, I think, like Don Fabrizio, the hero, the leopard of his story, knew that Sicily couldn't be changed, that there was no revolution and that nothing would change. So what would Cavour make of the leopard if he could read it? Difficult to say, but it would be nice to think that he would approach the unification of Italy with a little bit more skepticism about the possibility of real historical change when it's imposed from above, when the North imposes its ways on the South. And it would be nice to think that this extraordinary world of Sicily that Lampedusa conjures up in The Leopard, a world of dust and heat, of passivity, but also of tremendous Sicilian pride, which The Leopard represents, would encourage Cavour to travel further south than Florence to discover the country he was going to conquer.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.